And it becomes our counterfeit joy. And you go, I don't even remember the last time I opened the Bible and spent time with God, but I've been chasing after people for so long. Where God going, I bring you joy. And here's the thing. When we start chasing these counterfeit joys, it leaves us exposed. It leaves us ashamed. It leaves us enslaved. So let's look at verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then both of their eyes were opened, and they knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But when the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I have commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is it that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Here's the thing, when we start chasing our counterfeit joys, when we start giving in, I should say, to our counterfeit joys, to our sins, it leaves us exposed, ashamed, enslaved. So here we are, we're going, we move from, "God, I believe you're holding out on me. I believe that there's a lot of joys and a lot of things that would fulfill my life that you're not giving me." And so I move from here where I go, "You are not, God, you are not enough. And you can give me it, but you refuse to." And so you go, "You know what? If that's the case, now we're going to move here and I'm going to go get it myself." Right? I'm going to get it done. I'm going to go get my, I'm going to get it. If that's the case, then I don't want any part of you. And you can ask a lot of people sitting in this room today, a lot of us made that decision at one point in time and can come back and go, "That was not worth it." And I've heard stories upon stories, even my own stories going, chasing counterfeit joys is not worth it. But here's the thing, when you start chasing them, realize it starts leaving you exposed. Because you start going, "Oh my goodness, who am I? What have I become? What is the stuff that I thought?" And then the next step, after realizing that who you are, who you really are, what you really have, shame starts coming. Because when you start living in a lifestyle of sin, that what happens naturally is just there's the shame that comes. And what you thought was freedom from God and freedom to choose to gravitate and run after the things that you think will make you happy actually is not free. And it leaves you enslaved. And the overall motivation of doing these things that you want to do, slowly you realize you just bought into a lie. You realize what you have later on in the palm of your hand are nothing but a whole bunch of fake things, a whole bunch of empty promises and brokenness that's still there. The price of chasing those counterfeit joys, the price of sin, it'll take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost more than you want to pay. And it's always always that. It will always do that. I'll give you an example of what it is. I know a lot of guys, it's a huge struggle for a lot of guys. Growing up, a lot of guys will struggle through this, and a lot of guys struggle through this now. which is probably the first, like the biggest form I can see of what counterfeit joy can really look like. And that's the struggle of lust for a lot of guys. And here's the lie of what lust is. It will fulfill you, it will make you happy, it will make you feel wanted, etc., etc., etc. That's the lie that a lot of guys buy into. And this is as I talk with guys and as knowing my peers, and this is what happens. They're going, as they're struggling through this, they're always left going, I can't believe this is who I really am. And they come to a conclusion of, this is how dark my heart is. This is how evil I really am. And I can't believe that's who I am. I can't believe I am that evil of a person. I thought I was a good person. I thought I respected women. I thought I was this great romantic guy. And honestly, I am this evil person. And what happens is then shame comes. And there's a shame and the pleading. Oh, God, I can't believe this is who I am. And there's the shame that ultimately comes when it comes to any type of sin. But instead of freedom, instead of joy, guess what happens? They're caught in the cycle. Because now they're enslaved to it. Where anytime they feel like they need to feel joy, or when they feel they need comfort, or whatever it is, they're now caught in the cycle, and it keeps on going. And afterwards, you're exposed, you're ashamed, and you're enslaved. And we see that in the very beginning with Adam and Eve. First thing they realize, they're exposed. Oh my goodness, what? I'm naked. And you see the shame, they run from God, and then the cycle continues. First thing is not, God, I'm so sorry what happened. It's, God, you gave me this woman. And he's just like, oh no, I'm caught in this sin. I can't stop sinning. Next thing you know, I'm blame shifting. And then Eve's like, whoa, it's this person, and it's this, and this. And here it is, the cycle of sin has just begun. And sin that enters now is just, we continue with this brokenness today. And it just continues with whatever it is for the gossip. For the gossiper who continues to want to gossip about people because it makes you feel good. It makes you feel like, I am better than all these people so I can talk about these people. And when you talk about other people, it makes you feel good inside because I'm not one of them. And you become judgmental, but then you start going, oh, I thought I was a nice person. I thought I respected people. But then you're enslaved to it and you can't stop it. Just feel the need to gossip because you know it makes you feel good inside because it makes you feel better than other people. We all have these counterfeit joys that we run after. We think it makes us feel joy, but it gives us empty promises. We're broken. Here's the thing. Like I said, apart from Christ, there's no real joy. There's no real freedom. We become a slave to these desires. And we still long for real joy, but we never get it. Chasing after these counterfeit joys is like drinking salt water. We're so thirsty, we think it'll quench our thirst. And you take a gulp of that, and it's clearly not something that will quench your thirst and makes you sick. But we keep on doing it, thinking something will change. We keep on going out there, thinking maybe this is the time it'll change. But it leaves us enslaved. And how many of us have been enslaved for far too long. Far too long. So if chasing our counterfeit joys leaves us enslaved and ultimately on the road to death and destruction, that is a hopeless end to any of our lives. But even in the midst of judgment and consequences, God, He gives us good news. Even in the midst of consequences and judgment, God gives us good news. That's just amazing. And we'll look at it at the very end. From verse 14, it says, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. Verse 15, pay attention to verse 15. It says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. Keep in mind that verse. To the woman, it says, I will surely multiply your pain in childbirthing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat all of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you are taken, for you are dust. And to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam, for his wife, garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man had become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, God sent him out of the garden from Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the garden of Eden, he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So now with sin entering the world, God had to take drastic measures. We see that he has... There's consequences that comes with sin. Real life consequences that come with sin. Death has entered the world. But in the midst of it, the very first thing God does, he gives hope. Did you catch it? The very first thing God does, he gives hope. In verse 15 is what theologians will call the proto-evangelium, which means the first gospel. If you thought the first gospel came in the New Testament, the first gospel showed up in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Right after sin enters the world, the gospel is proclaimed. And what pretty much, from the start, God says, Satan, you will be crushed. You will strike his heel, but he will strike your head. He will crush your head. And we find out what happens years later. How that happened was through the cross of Christ. That through Christ, Satan and his reign of sin and enslavement ultimately was defeated. And here's the good news. Your counterfeit joys are defeated as well. And he's going, you don't have to settle for those anymore. Real joy is now made through Christ. Christ has now given you the opportunity to enter God's kingdom once again. The kingdom that we've been kicked out of for so long. Now we have an opportunity to be in God's kingdom, to live in his will, to actually have a relationship with him, and to cast aside these counterfeit joys that has been holding us back for so long, that has been enslaving us for so long, that has been giving us nothing but brokenness, hurt, and pain for so long, and we can finally cast those aside for Jesus. And now we have that. But a lot of us, we forget that. We forget the real joy we have. We forget the real freedom we have. We forget how good it was following and living and striving after God. We forget that. And I've talked to endless people in their midst of chasing their counterfeit joys, and I ask them a simple question. Were you unhappy in those times when you were really close to God and you were following Him? Like, were you unhappy? And they're like, no, I wasn't. I was really happy. I was really joyful. So what happened? I don't know. But for some reason, it went from there to, I don't think God can give me that joy. And we end up like the Israelites that we see in Exodus and in Numbers, where they're finally freed from enslavement. They're finally freed from Egypt, where they were slaves for like 400 years. And then you realize really quickly after they were freed, time and time again, they'll say, if we're only back in Egypt when things were just so good. And I'm pretty sure Moses was thinking, really? Was it really that good? How did you like making those bricks without a straw? Like, come on, was it really that great? Did you like getting whipped? I don't know. Are you really sure that it was really that great? You really want to go back to Egypt? I'm pretty sure they'll take you. Because they're missing like million slaves. You want to go back there? You can go back there. You sure being with God is not as joyful as being back as slaves? You serious? But a lot of us act like that. A lot of us go, if I were only a non-Christian, I could do whatever I want. Or if I didn't have to follow Jesus, I could do all these things. And go, really? Like that? You think that's going to make you happy? Didn't we go down that road once? You want to go back there again? You think things are going to change? There's no real joy outside of God's kingdom. And that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Because Christ is our real joy. There's no such thing as real joy outside of His kingdom, outside of His economy. Everything else out there is fake. They're counterfeit. Real hope is the hope that Christ has given on the cross, in the resurrection. That's real hope. That's real joy. So pour your life, your heart, your soul, your mind into that. Because that's where real joy comes from. Not anything else. Don't settle for the counterfeit.